Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, Surya Says, and So It Begins. Yes, tonight I'm making a new attempt. I have set up my clipping system. It's not necessarily going to be amazing clips, but I want to try at some point during the show tonight. I will push a button, start recording a clip, and I want to try publishing these clips in an automated fashion on Twitter. And I want to see what will be the response of the audience, if it reduces the viewership of the main show or if it's just different people watching the clips. So I'm going to do two clips today with my new buttons, including my mute button, which I just clicked. Very good material, this Akai Professional Fire FL Studio, just beautiful buttons that allow me to control the show, clip, start clip, end clip, change scenes. That would be absolutely awesome. I'm still not done setting it in full. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Today I had an interview with David Nino Rodriguez, a boxer who has a big channel, coming at you live from the apocalypse, folks. Nino's Corner.tv. He has 266,000 subscribers on YouTube, and I did an interview on the revolutionary phenotype. It will be great to get exposure on the revolutionary phenotype. One moment, I have to leave 10 seconds. All right. I am back. So David Nino Rodriguez did a great interview. It was great to talk to a guy who's, you know, he's mostly concerned about the globalist and that kind of stuff, a little bit like a Alex Jones type of guy. Very much a right winger, basically, and a man who is against the direction of society. It was great to talk with someone like this, with the details, and not getting annoyed with the usual transhumanist response. Well, what about if it's better? What about if it's better to replace ourselves with machines? I like when I'm in an interview where this doesn't come up, because I think it's a loss of time, and it's like, well, yeah, why not be replaced by the squirrels? Why care about life at all? John Drake says, what about a 2 or 3 camera system now that you have the fancy keyboard? I mean, nothing is impossible. I just don't see the point of having different angles on my face, honestly. I mean, it could do for a change, perhaps, but yeah, I mean, it's totally feasible, yes, and I would just change the scenes, and maybe you'd see me on the side, and I'd be like, when I end my point, I would have a different camera take, and when I begin my point, I would start talking to you on the side. I don't know. It might be interesting. I'll consider it. Cameras have not evolved very much, so I guess I would just buy a copy of this Brio 4K Logitech camera. I think it's pretty standard in the streaming business, and it's been doing good. I've been forced out over Partygate reports, says Boris Johnson. So I don't know. Are we seeing a déjà vu here? Boris Johnson is stepping down immediately as a Tory MP after receiving an advance copy of the Partygate report. Oh no, okay, so he had been giving up as a prime minister, is that it? And now he's giving up as a MP? I don't know, but it's so ridiculous. We're going to make a report to determine if the COVID rules have been violated. And this report will determine if we change prime minister. It's all very small. These COVID rules should have never happened. But it's all very small that a country would get rid of its political class because of this, because of Partygate, because, oh, you didn't follow the COVID rules. Fuck the COVID rules, bro. Adam says, how about a sidekick who agrees with everything he says, adds color commentary, and reacts to JF with a trumpet or a drum? Oh my God. Just you laying out the idea, I'm already annoyed. I really don't like human beings. I don't think I would find it pleasant to have a human being. Now, when I was, headed toward being a big channel, I did take co-host and guest, and I was doing it kind of because I wanted to deliver a show that was kind of the center of meetup for a wide array of thought. I thought it was good for cognitive diversity. It was good for challenge. But I much prefer the debate format and go out there on other shows to debate and interact. And then when we come back here, I prefer my little autistic isolation, because it's people are always annoying. People always take things in the wrong direction. They're not professionals. They are late. They are unavailable. It's such a fucking headache to just have a show with lots of people just function, basically just work without issues showing up. Dino Logovic says, you have a swivel chair. You do not need multiple angles, Jeff. Are you sure about that? Okay. Woke Marvel eliminates The Punisher due to problematic conservative fan base. So apparently there was this guy, I am The Punisher. I am a cartoon character. And as a superhero, I punish. I'm going to kill people if they annoy the children. So apparently the big crime that this guy has done to offend the left, he wanted to protect the children. That's a taboo. You've just stepped on a big taboo of the left. Protecting children, holy shit. No, that is not a good idea if you want to be popular with the left. So they've now canceled the character. He was too child sympathetic, really. It's unacceptable for modern audiences. Now, the way they got rid of him, and this tells you all you need to know about Marvel, you should never consult these whatever they call those cartoons or whatever, these books. They had his wife came back from death, reincarnated momentarily in the story, so just so that she could divorce him. That is how they put a hand to him. That means I can... So she's coming back from the dead here. And she says, that means I can finally finish what I was trying to tell you that day in the park. We're done, Frank. I want a divorce. And since technically I'm still dead, I've already got it. With some help from Natasha, I've taken the liberty of dividing your assets. I've sold your safe houses and all their contents. The real estate alone fetched quite the price. I have my half in cash in several duffel bags sitting in my new car. That's not supposed to be... That's not supposed to be how a hero and villain stories go. It's not supposed to be about divorce, but it seems that the leftist pressure for controlling the content of Marvel is so strong that they couldn't help it. They made it a thing about divorce, and divorce while coming back from the dead, that is one I had never heard before. Crypto.com. I've been receiving, by the way, my treasures So I tried playing with the Trezor a little bit. I wanted to study them as an alternative to Ledger, and I also wanted to have many of these devices because I wanted to start perhaps storing some Bitcoin in multi-sig accounts. So accounts that you have to have two sets of keys or three sets of keys to send Bitcoins from. I think that this is a good idea. Good idea. And so I received my Trezor. I'm very happy about them. It's a cheaper and lighter device than the Ledger. It feels more cheap, but it's more simple also. And sometimes in security, simple is the way to go. So they are very simple and very easy to use. They allow to keep your seed key off your computer, and you just click on the device. It's very much like a Ledger with respect to how to handle it. I would say less professional than Ledger, but given that Ledger has been oscillating recently and they've been tempted with all these shard IDs of desecurizing a little bit their firmware so that they could send the seed keys over to the internet, that has been worrying me. So now I have Trezors, and I'm also testing various exchanges, knowing that Binance is going to leave Canada. I have tried to check out Crypto.com. Now they're saying Crypto.com is winding down U.S. institutional business, but I wouldn't worry about this. This is truly just the big customers that will be affected, like banks that would have wanted to buy Bitcoin. But Crypto.com is still operational for Canadian and U.S. users, and they make it their whole thing that they are about respecting regulations and that kind of stuff. Now, it is a high fee place. The total fees that I ended up doing in my test was 2.8%, but in Canada, it might become the best option, depending on what happens with Binance. Where do the Binance sellers end up? Because there's lots of people willing to sell on Binance P2P, and that's a very good way to get it in the form of an electronic transfer in Canada. But with Binance P2P gone, who else will show up? Will we be able to find all these sellers and buyers somewhere, perhaps? But since I don't know, I'm opening up a lot of options so that when I decide to sell, I'll be ready to sell. John Drake says, NDAX or Newton for Canadian customers, JF, highly regulated. And Callum Axworth says, Kraken is the best CEX. Well, I'll have to check into those. Newton, I saw it. I think I may have subscribed to it, but I don't know. Do they have a ramp out? I have to check this. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He says, JF, I didn't catch it live, but watching the VOD, I thoroughly enjoyed your stream yesterday. Regarding crypto, remember, in the 2017-2018 run, it was like every second day, Korean, Chinese, Japanese governments were flip-flopping on their regulation, causing values to bounce up and down. Oh yeah, no worries. I'm ready for price variation, but I know that within the next 2 years, I will intend to sell some Bitcoin, of course, because I want to catch the peak of the bull run. And so seeing that Binance is going out of Canada, I want to have options. So as much options as I can get. And Crypto.com has a very interesting option of a credit card. A credit card that you can load with Bitcoin. And you can do ATM withdrawals. So I'm going to be testing this very in the close future, because that is very interesting to get straight from Bitcoin to cash, basically. That might be a good ramp out. Now, you're going to have the fees of crypto.com, which is 2.8%. for me, at least in Canada, that was that. So we'll see if that's viable, but it might be the best out there. It might be the best thing you can do in Canada, and if so, it's not a problem. Barnaby Bruto says, yes, Newton is ramping off. You only pay a spread, which is usually between 0.65 and 1.2%, depending on the coin. Very interesting. John Drake says, you can wire or e-transfer your funds out after selling. Okay, very interesting. I'll certainly check it out, because that would be better percentages than what I got. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, are you prepared for the peak of the next BTC bull run below 100,000? I hope that we will meet $100,000, because if Bitcoin continues its current patterns, it should be 3x the peak of the last run. So 3x 60,000, that would be 180,000. Now, it doesn't have to do this, but it's been doing this for a long time, and I don't see any reason why it would significantly slow down. Now, we might have something closer to 2x the last peak, but even 2x would bring us at $120,000. So I personally hold hope that we will be above 100K. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, regarding Lauren Sutton, I cannot believe she had zero money. How the fuck is that even possible? Her choice of men says a lot as well. Also, I want to commend you on supporting people like Go Away, who, like Lauren Sutton, needs hand-holding and guidance, though obviously he is not as fuckable. Yeah, exactly. I like to think of this show as the sewers of the world. We are collecting the crap that the world has rejected, and this is why Go Away is here every night. And I'm here to help him figure out how to survive in the world without having Lauren Sutton's boobs. I've been programming the clipping script in BAT, batch files in Windows. Holy shit, is that ugly as a programming language. Super complex. The variables, when you list them and you set their value, it's not clear if I need to put quotes or no quotes. And then when I use the value, I have to use one percentage sign. And then sometimes if I'm in a for loop, the value has to be two percentage signs. And then if I want a part of the stream, it's like two column number, zigzag, G. It's completely ridiculous. It is an ugly scripting language, but I don't want to learn Python, because I've never learned Python. I've always been capable of dealing without Python. I take either more advanced language or less advanced languages. And so Python has remained my kind of blind spot in the programming world. And it's since those are very small scripts that I want them to do something very, you know, predetermined, and every night I need the script to do the same thing. So basically here I went for the batch file, and you go into the directory, you get the list of files, you take the newest CSV file. The CSV file contains delimiters, you remove the delimiters, you take column 2 and 6. You take the timestamps of my start clip and end clip, and then it will produce video automatically that I can publish on Twitter every day. And this script is basically based on a start clip marker and an end clip marker. And this will be obtainable from pushing the buttons on my FL Studio new gamepad. So that is the goal of what I've been setting up. Claim: assisted suicide becomes third leading cause of death in Quebec, 7% of all death. Wow. I didn't know that it was that big. Canada looks set to face another record-shattering year of euthanasia deaths in 2023 after a reported 35% rise to some 13,500 state-sponsored suicide in 2022, an analysis of official data shows. Regional health chiefs won't release their formal tally for some weeks, but data from Ontario, Alberta, Quebec, and Nova Scotia already show steep rises in euthanasia deaths last year, right across Justin Trudeau's Canada. The data claim was shared with the outlet. Well, interesting. John Drake says, wow, can that really be true? Yeah, it went very fast, these societal changes around assisted suicide. I'm kind of surprised by how fast it went, but also I don't object. It's okay. It's okay that this is available to people who are desperate, to people who want to save themselves some suffering. I'm fine with it. As a libertarian, I think it should be an option on the table. Now, there's all sorts of dirty things, and you end up in a very weird situation with young people in whom perhaps, like, if your child wants this service, now you end up with, hey, I dedicated my life to my child because I hoped that they would reproduce, and now you have the government coming to cock-block me on the next generation, basically. That I take issue with. I take issue with any killing of people who may have investments, emotional investments coming from other people, like a wife who wants to get killed but her husband doesn't want, a child who wants to get killed but their parent doesn't want. But I think it's a totally fine offer for old people who know they will be dead very soon and who just want to save some suffering along the way. There's also the problem that the state is positioning itself into a super conflictual position, because keeping people alive may cost a lot of money. If you keep a 60-year-old alive, you're likely going to have cancer within the next 5 years. And so for the Canadian government, what does that mean? Well, cancer treatment, cancer follow-ups, cancer-associated hospitalizations and emergency visits. Keeping someone alive above 60 years old may very well represent something like tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to just keep them alive. Take the pod, the suicide pod. You can get rid of that person for maybe $1,000. There's some profit to be made here. My capitalist eyes are lighting up. Like, how do I, like, I could start offering maybe propaganda services to the Canadian government, like the Papa JF pamphlet, the ultimate pamphlet that convinces you to ask for death. Perhaps that is something that there could be money to be made, but that is the conflictual position I was talking about. Rogan says, when I go to Target, I don't want to see fucking tuck pants. Podcast King Joe Rogan summarized how most Americans feel about having LGBTQ plus stuff shoved in their faces everywhere they look. Well, you see, this was a position of the conservative guy in American Beauty. Why do these people always have to shove it in your face? And it was back then meant to mock the guy, like, oh, he was overly conservative, this military father. But that is what any normal person must feel in front of this constant pressure, LGBT being everywhere, and it's so much everywhere that I'm not particularly feeling the up happening during this Pride Month. I mean, I've seen LGBT flags and LGBT slogans pretty much all year long at this point. And it seems that the Pride Month is even less marked as LGBT propaganda has taken over the whole year, basically. But I agree with Joe Rogan. Of course, it's an invasion of sexual themes that were meant to be hidden, because the whole idea of being in a civilization that uses clothing, the whole idea was that we can walk around, I can buy ground meat and chicken, and you don't have to see my testicles as I do it. That is the innovation of clothing, and we're losing it because we're putting back the sexual references in flags, in various toys and various clothing that you can purchase at these places. Blanket says, JF, they want it to be gay year forever. Yeah, well, that's impossible. At best, you can have gay year for 30 years, and then you have no one left. But yeah, that seems to be what they're interested in. I'm starting a clip, guys. I'm pushing the button. Let's get started. So a political satirist in Germany is being investigated and under a criminal investigation for using a Nazi symbol on his book. And here's his book, The Rise of the New Normal Right, C.J. Hopkins. And you may not see it super clearly, but there is a subtle Nazi symbol in a white circle added onto the mask. And the whole theme of the book, of course, is not to say Nazis are good, but it's to say these mask Nazis are trying to impose us in an authoritarian fashion, in the same way the Nazis wanted to do it, a certain mode of life, a certain medical decision. Well, this guy is now in trouble in Germany. The Berlin state prosecutor has launched a criminal investigation of me for tweeting the image on the cover of my book, The Rise of the New Normal Reich. The propaganda in question, because he's been accused of disseminating propaganda, the contents of which are intended to further the aims of a former National Socialist organization. That is, he's being accused of being a Nazi in Germany. Isn't that beautiful? The propaganda in question is the image on the cover of his book. Of course, when the book was released, it was banned from many platforms. But eventually, he still offered a copy of his cover onto his Twitter account. And now he is being sued for basically maintaining this cover on his Twitter account. Now, he points out, they are allowed in Germany, you are supposed to be allowed to display the Nazi symbol for purposes of civic education, countering anti-constitutional activities, art and science, research and education, coverage of historic and current events, and similar purposes. So it's pretty clear by the purpose of this law that it was designed with lots of freedom to use for other purposes than promoting the Nazi party. So I have no doubt that his book does not violate the spirit of the law, but it's unfortunate that there is some form of intimidation going on with these laws, because they still give you the trouble. They still go after you, and they give you trouble. They make you have expenses, lawyers, and defending yourself and being nervous about it. And it shouldn't be. It should be very clear to everyone, this Nazi symbol on this mask is not an appeal to National Socialism. To the contrary, it is a negative view of it that is being put forward. And here we go. That would be a clip. I've clicked on end clip. I hope that it's been recorded properly. And if everything goes well, these parts of my show, they will export themselves onto Twitter very quick by me just activating my script. I don't know if I will be publishing all at once after the show. If I have many clips, perhaps what I'll do is I'll schedule tweets. I'll set automated tweets that release in 1 hour, 6 hours, maybe next morning. But I'd like to catch some news item that I find particularly interesting and get them out there to our Twitter audiences that may not watch this old show. Social conservatism in the U.S. highest in a decade. It's hard to believe, but they say that basically there is a generation rising of American conservatism, probably as a backlash of how far the leftists are going. So more Americans this year, 38%, say they are very conservative on social issues than said so in 2022, which was at 33%, and 2021, which was at 30%. So basically in 3 years since COVID, you have a slight rise of conservative identification, which it's been going down and down. In the long run, it's been going down and down, but it's the first sign of an encouraging recovery for conservative thought, and that is very appreciated. Some people are continuing the criticism and analysis that of Lawrence Sutherland. And I gave my thoughts about it yesterday. Lawrence Sutherland may not have gotten lucky. She may also have been poorly choosing and choosing someone outside of her race who probably was more attached to conceptions of his career internationally than he was to really this relationship. But overall, I'm super happy that Lauren is with her her child, and that she is raising him, that she has attained happiness and has kind of recovered a connection with herself through trailer park life. Rocco ETH was saying, looks like the feds got Lauren Sutherland. Also, it's kind of insane that she could basically have had her pick from millions of men, and she chose a non-white fed who dumped her and left her as a single mom living on a trailer park. What went wrong? Lack of a rational filtering process, probably. There's also some crazy irrationality picking a non-white guy to marry. Even if she doesn't care, it obviously damages her brand. Now the mainstream knows her as an evil racist, and anyone who is anti-mainstream knows her as an evil race traitor. Not smart. Was the whole thing just an operation to neuter her? It wouldn't surprise me, to be honest. My advice to her is put the kid up for adoption and get back into the fight and be more careful. That is ridiculous. You don't put a 3-year-old, 4-year-old child to adoption just because you don't like how it turned out. Now, my recommendation would be to Lauren to do make more babies, you know, get into it. If you need a sperm donor, I'm willing to donate sperm, Lauren Sutherland. Here, let's open a clip. No, let's not open a clip. If you want sperm donation, Lauren Sutherland, I will give sperm in a little vial. You can inject it in any way you want. You should have more babies. Why don't you have... Let's open the clip. So Lauren Sutherland has only one babies. I want to put up an offer because I was reviewing criticism of her life choices and having reproduced with an Australian. I just want to be clear that my sperm is up for donation to Lauren Sutherland. I will take all of the precautions in shipping it in iced containers that will sustain the test of time. If Lauren my recommendation to Lauren would be to make more babies. Make 6 or 7 babies. And if she is having trouble finding an inseminator, I am absolutely, on a donation basis, yes, Dino Ragovic, I will not be asking for any reimbursement, any crypto. I don't need that. I'm doing good. But Basically, instead of spending your whole life raising a single child like this, you're much better sacrificing your life to raise 6-7 children. It's not much more effort, and the oldest children will care for the youngest, and it all goes well together. So I just wanted to put it out there that I can give my sperm for free. No need for sex. I wouldn't dare ask for sex from Lauren Sutton. She is too beautiful. I don't want to get into this. I don't want to kind of use the situation, but she may need sperm donation, and I'm ready to send it in a vial. Blanket says, Jeff, would you like if she came on your show? She came on my show back in the days. Did she come on my show? There was Faith Goldie who came on my show. Lauren Sutton has come on Warski Live. So it's a little different. But yeah, she was there. Anyways. Rocco is going way too harsh with her. And she may have, maybe some of the things she says is her perspective and it's completely misleading. But it doesn't matter. As long as her ex, her fed ex, really, like her fed ex doesn't come on the public space and deny this, I'm going to believe her. Like, I have no reason to believe that someone who doesn't speak out on the public space has something to say that would be contradictory. So in general, if there's no contradictory statements, I will believe the statements that are on the public space. Now, you have to be careful about feds because they exist. And perhaps the whole thing is a coup of the Fed, you know? The way in which she was basically extorted, and he said, you have to come to Australia to see the baby. And then she tries going to Australia. She can't go to Australia. There's something dirty that happened in this whole cycle. And one wonders if it was intentional of her ex to find all these excuses and kind of combine with legislation to make her life hard. Or if it was just a plan of the feds who were basically using him without him being conscious of it. But all of this is interesting. But ultimately, I trust Lauren Sutton. She's the one laying it out on the public space. And in my experience, those who stay shut, those who don't show up to address things publicly, they are lying. Like those who just show up at the family court to win the case and make all the false allegations against you, and then they disappear, and it's like they ruined your reputation and they're not willing to back up what they've been saying with facts and with proofs and with recordings, those are not to be trusted. I trust much more someone who comes out and opens her heart on the public space. Blanket says, Jeff, wouldn't your girlfriend have a problem with you helping Lauren in that way? Well, we'll see. Everything is doable. Everything is doable in terms of deals. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, Elon just tweeted about creators' ad revenue campaign begins next week. Well, isn't that the perfect moment to start clipping? And so I'm starting a clip right now as you tell me this. Let's get into it. So Trump has been indicted for a second time. Donald Trump indicted this time for a classified documents investigation. This indictment is something with content that we had already reviewed back in the days because it all revolves around these documents that Trump was purportedly keeping at Mar-a-Lago and then keeping at his own house. And there had been a FBI crackdown to recover those boxes, and there had been a lot of noise. about this collection of documents and the photos, the pictures that were taken then. And Trump has always been maintaining that this was a political persecution, an unjust, unfair look at him for things that every president do. And you have to give it to him. I don't know if every president keeps that kind of classified documents, but certainly there has been a lack of prosecution for things that Hunter Biden was exposed for. There has been a lack of prosecution for Hunter Biden trying to have foreign interventions against Ukraine using public money from the U.S. government. There's been a lack of prosecution against Biden for being the big guy benefiting from a circle of bribery. All of these things, to me, indicate criminal behavior of a much graver nature, because this is not process crimes. This is not, oh, you kind of mishandled some paper. It's like you are plotting crimes against the American government and with the force of the American government behind your shoulders, basically. In fact, you're committing a crime against the American people. That's what's happening. So I agree with Elon Musk that there has been unfair persecution of Trump. He says there does seem to be far higher interest in pursuing Trump compared to other people in politics. Very important that the justice system rebuke what appears to be differential enforcement, or they will lose public trust. And Ashley St. Clair was saying Trump should do a Twitter space to talk about the sham indictment. Elon Musk says that would be interesting. It would be interesting, but I don't think Trump can engage on Twitter. He is contractually bound for now to his Truth Social platform. So let's get through the claim. So we're talking about a bunch of boxes that would have been kept at Mar-a-Lago. And what this prosecution has is basically a set of interaction between Trump, first Trump, and a journalist, a writer who came to interview Trump. And you know the behavior of Trump. He's always trying to display a little more. He's the marketing type of guy. And he may have been careless in this conversation where he was trying to defend himself against false claims that he wanted to attack country A. So he invites this writer, whatever, maybe a writer for bio or a writer for some book or journalism. And the writer is like, okay, tell me what you got in terms of attacking country A. And we don't know what country A is. Could it be Syria? Could it be Russia? I don't know. No clue. But so there's discussions of Trump wanted to strike country A. Could be China, I don't know. And Trump says, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I didn't want to strike country A. What's happening is that I had these people come to me with plans. And they were like, look, this is a plan for how to attack this country. And so Trump, in trying to convince the writer that he's telling the truth, he shows the writer those very plans. He shows the writer, look, this is a plan for attacking country A. And I wasn't the one making the plan. It was them. It was these military guys who were counselors to the president, and they came to me with this. I just found, isn't that amazing? This totally wins my case, you know? Except it is like highly confidential. Secret. This is secret information. Look at this. You attack and... By the way, isn't that incredible? I was just thinking because we were talking about it and you know, he said he wanted to attack country A. And what? This was done by the military and given to me. Huh, I think we can probably write... declassify it. See, as a president, I could have declassified it. Yeah, ha ha ha. Now I can't, you know, but this is still a secret. Yeah, ha ha ha. Now we have a problem. Isn't that interesting? It was Canada. Some people are claiming on the chat that it was Canada. Well, whether you're joking or not, I have no idea. It doesn't matter. Basically, what we have is Trump bragging. Hey, I'm being careless here about this is classified. But I guess we could theoretically declassify it. This is the kind of speech that puts him in trouble now, because now you have this staffer and this writer are willing to testify against him. Because Trump has to understand, when you're in the private business, there's a bunch of people around you, and they are loyal to you as long as you pay them. And there's really no reason for them to betray you. As long as they get their share of wealth from you, they're going to be good. But in politics, every single person around you is a Fed, basically, literally. And so you're going to be in trouble. Your lawyers will betray you. And as we've seen in this prosecution, in fact, eventually, it's the lawyers of Trump. Now, you may think, isn't there a secrecy commitment by lawyers? Normally, there should be. Normally, what you say to your lawyer, even if you say to your lawyer, I committed the crime, they shouldn't be reporting that to the court. But I'm sure there's going to be exceptions made, and they will say, well, it wasn't about a past crime that he had committed. He was trying to involve me in a crime. So basically, the second case that they have is a discussion with Trump attorney one, where Trump would have, in sum and substance, made the following statements. I don't want anybody looking. I don't want anybody looking through my boxes. I really don't. I don't want you looking through my boxes. Well, what happens if we just don't respond at all or don't play ball with them? Wouldn't it be better if we just told them we don't have anything here? Well, look, isn't it better if there are no documents? So they're suggesting that Trump, in saying these things, was trying to conceal, was suggesting to his lawyer, hey, you know, we can burn them. You can get rid of them. And eventually he tells his lawyers and texts his lawyer, good afternoon, Walt. I saw you put boxes to POTUS room, just for your information. And I will tell him as well, not sure how many he wants to take on Friday on the plane. We will not have a room for them. Plane will be full of luggage. I think he wanted to pick from them. So that's a discussion between staff and Trump. Eventually, we get into the concealment claim that Trump would have basically asked to one of his lawyers to hide the documents. He says at some point, well, if you find yourself at the hotel and you find that anything in there is illegal, maybe you can just swoosh. And he doesn't say swoosh. He makes a move with his hand, according to his lawyer. So maybe you can just, you know, get rid of them. And so all of this seems to be sufficient basis to eventually find Trump guilty of a process crime. That's if it's true, if these people can testify in the court, and if the jury can believe them. But with the unfair context in which this is all run, I wouldn't be surprised that we end up having a jury that is fully anti-Trump, that says, all right, we're finding him guilty of this. We believe these testimonies. We believe the lawyer. We believe the writer. And Trump finds himself basically guilty of a petty, small crime, but that will probably be elevated because of all sorts of factors of gravity and the fact that it's a law around national security, you know, because those are confidential stuff. But it's all extremely inflated in terms of how big this is coming, based on just a couple of boxes that Trump would have kind of said, all right, you can come and get them, and yeah, I'm not holding on to them. And then a couple of comments that he would have offendedly made with lawyers that probably he trusted, and with a writer that he probably wanted to impress. Personally, I don't judge Trump ethically. I don't look at this and see an immoral Trump. I just see the Trump that I know exists, which is a Trump of bragging, a Trump of, hey, can we cut short here? And wouldn't it be easier if they cut fire? But the problem is when you say these things out loud, the feds are out there and they hear you and they will catch you if they hate you. And here we go. That's another clip. I've clicked on my end clip. I'm having fun with this rhythm, producing clips live with you guys. I love it. John Drake says they could get any president on this. Selective prosecution. Exactly. Selective prosecution because they hate someone who comes from outside of the system. Trump is on his Telegram right now. Chatting. Well, he's on Truth, but it's getting posted on Telegram. Attorney General Garland, Lisa Monaco, Matt Colangelo, now working at the DA's office to get Trump, deranged Jack Smith, and of course Biden himself, who is losing to me in the polls by a lot, are all Trump haters. Jack Smith's wife, Kathy Chevigny, is the biggest hater of them all. There is no way they can treat me fairly, but we will win and make America great again. Poor Trump, he still has confidence in the freaking system. This system is going to drop everything on him to try to exhaust him. That's the saddest thing. This is all prosecutorial exhaustion. Like the New York thing, out of nowhere, just going at him to add weight to his campaign so that he can't run, so that he's too busy defending. A fight of bums in New York City.
Look at this bull. Oh, she's like, this is my corner. Oh, look at it, they about to jump in.
Go crazy too, man.
I think we had seen this back in the days. Isn't it a old video? I'm not sure.
Everybody. Oh, no, no, she bought that wood. What happened? That's my nigga. That's my.
So now we have dogs. We have a homeless. They are fighting for the corner to beg, apparently. They want to be there. The dogs are causing noise. The guitar guy is getting. So the black couple wants the corner. The dogs and the guitar guy are annoying to them.
Nigga.
Guitar hit to the head. Not very powerful, not much force behind it. Hair pulling. Dogs chaotically going in all directions.
Oh, she leaking. This shit is crazy.
Honestly, these hair could be pulled. It might actually improve her beauty.
These crackheads fighting for their corners.
Niggas fighting for their corner. This is what happens when you fight for this corner.
All right. Not very interesting. People are losing so much time in life. It's not productive. You're not living a productive lifestyle if you are fighting for a corner to beg. If we're not careful, the AI revolution could become the great homogenization. As artificial intelligence grows, so do attempts to control it. But if we can differentiate the real risks from the fake risk, this technology could be used to encourage diversity of thought and ideas. Now, definitely, it's what's happening, because any central contribution that you put onto people's mind, culture, it always centralizes. It always reduces the concept of decision making to is this good or is this bad? For example, the leftist state-based education system has decided LGBT is good suddenly. Well, now it's every teacher that teaches this. It's the whole program that's manipulated in that direction. So you're going to have the same thing with AI. It's always, is your decision-making decentralized or is it centralized? And yes, new guy, he says exactly, centralization is bad. Yes, because centralization, one error involves everyone. You don't get the repeatability, the testing, the kind of test of time, which is inherent to a decentralized system. You make a single error, like you push an idea that turns out to be poisonous, you ruin the entire society. Chris is fighting in the streets of Canada. So this is the journalist interviewing him. But Chris is combating LGBT indoctrination, I believe, in schools in Canada.
It's Chris. Oh, my name's Chris Elston. ELSTON. Okay.
And he's getting harassed by the Pride protesters. They don't want to let him speak, so they yell at him, asshole, asshole.
Can you just tell me what you're doing here?
Well, I travel around North America and the world now just having conversations about what I consider to be the greatest child abuse scandal in modern medicine history. We have all these children who are struggling with various mental health comorbidities. There might have been trauma or abuse. Who knows what's going on in their life? But they're being treated as though gender is the underlying cause of all their difficulties. And they're having their puberty blocked with an experimental chemical castration drug that's never been approved for this purpose. They're receiving the opposite sex hormones. And in Canada, they're doing double mastectomies on minors as well. So we should be letting these kids grow up. We should be leaving them alone. I know that historically, from all the academic studies that have ever been done, the vast majority...
They're trying to shut him down by swamping in with noise.
Majority of children, 80 to 90% of them, with gender dysphoria, grew out of it.
Trans kids! Protect
and a majority grew up
kids.
To be gay. Protect so this is actually a...
Look at these LGBT umbrella, protect trans kids.
The homophobic protect movement is harming kids who grow up to be gay, and it's harming protect autistic kids.
What do you make of the counter...
All right, very good that he's there standing in front of these communist journalists from the CBC. DK Shadow says, get your act together, Odyssey. Yes, get it together because Papa Elon is calling me. He is calling me, and I might be tempted to stream on Twitter video, whatever that becomes. California bill would charge parents who don't affirm transgenderism with child abuse. Of course, every time I bring this up to a leftist in debate, like we had Naomi recently deny that, oh no, there's no pressure. There's no pressure for against misgendering. It's just a matter of respect. No, it's not a matter of respect. It's a matter of law. You guys want to turn it into a criminal and child abusive practice to have a belief about their gender and to state it. An updated bill in California has introduced the inclusion of affirming a child's sexual transition as a requirement for parental responsibility and child welfare. This means that failing to affirm transgenderism for a child would be considered abusive according to the proposed California State Family Code. Holy shit. You don't contradict your child's sex, actual sex. You lose welfare and you lose the child. They will put them in a family. That is ultimately child kidnapping. It's what I've been denouncing for many years, and they've been practicing with this for many years, with family courts, with the systematic abusive perception of males, the removal of parental rights for the male side, and these abusive prosecutions using child protective services. This is extremely dangerous. They want to make sterilization basically the default. You don't sterilize your child, well, you're not affirming their gender. And so you are to be found guilty of child abuse, eventually crimes, and eventually lose your child for it. Zuckerberg must explain. EU demands answers on Instagram pedophile network. The European Union's senior commissioner on internal markets has demanded answers from Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg over a report in the Wall Street Journal about Instagram's facilitation of child pornography networks. So there was this whole article that came out, and turns out, you know, Pizzagate and the whole, these codes like cheese pizza means child porn. Other codes mean something else, a map. You know, there was a bizarre reference to maps, if I remember correctly, in the WikiLeaks releases. And it could very well be, or there was also a handkerchief, I believe. All of these are references to, that they are code words for criminals to hide their criminal activity. And what was exposed is basically Pizzagate in its perception that there are networks of people using these code words on the internet, coordinating child abuse activity, not child abuse like misgendering, real child abuse, real child sexual exploitation is going on. It's happening. And the codes are 100% real, as Gonzo Johnny points out on the regular chat. So yes, it's good that it's coming in the public eye, but I had no doubt that this was going on to a certain extent. Also exaggerated by a bunch of kooks, you know. There was a guy who went to a place with a shotgun, and it was the Comet Pizza place, which was a democratic pizza headquarter. You know, some people have taken it too far. But Pizzagate is real to the extent that there are networks of such malintended individuals. A showdown is ramping up right now in Ottawa after the school board told all teachers to call all kids by they-them pronouns permanently. Every one student is now non-binary, and protesters are getting furious, situation escalating. Unbelievable. They want the default to be you are LGBT trans unless you strongly claim the contrary. And then maybe we'll respect you as a woman if you want to be a woman, or a man if you want to be a man. But it's an inversion of the normal order of thing. It is the application of a medical practice by default. It's as if I was telling you, we're gonna give blood pressure medication to everyone, and then if they make you feel bad, we're gonna remove it from you. It's not the right way to approach nature, and it's not the right way to approach human interventionism. In this wisdom that you only try to fix something if it's broken, and don't try to fix it if it's not broken. This wisdom is an important piece of wisdom that guards you against systematic uses of human intervention where not warranted, with the recognition that typically nature does it better than what you would want to do as an intervention, that typically laissez-faire is the safest option, and that anything you might want to do to change the world and change the children is probably taking them in a bad direction, especially if you don't have their genetic interest aligned with yours. So let us not fix it if it's not broken. Let us kick the woke of the government, says Cosmic Nut. And yes, let's be careful applying these. These things should have been meant for gender dysphoric extreme cases, like 1 in 100,000, 10 in 100,000. they should not have become social problems for the whole of the school. Well, let's leave the schools, leave California, and continue living our own lives. People were saying, great show yesterday, JF. People really liked this review of the black guy video I did. This guy made a IQ curve. So the low IQ says, we know you was a hoe from the jump, bitch. And I'm like, this black man has a PhD level understanding of evolutionary biology. And the average midwit woman is at the middle. I had great fun reviewing this video. And as a last news item for tonight, consent to sex isn't consent to pregnancy. And no, that's not the case. Consent to sex is consent to the possibility of pregnancy. When you use a function of the biological world, you cannot escape the possible consequences of this function. You are engaging in the act of sex. That act as a function. The function is making babies. You may be using it with a side intent of charming some other guy, of pleasing your narcissistic self-conceptions. But it doesn't matter. You are using a fundamentally reproductive function of biology, the consequences of which, if it works well, you should have a baby. And therefore, consent to sex is consent to pregnancy, or at least the possibility of it. Someone was pointing out, if I put $100 on red, I don't consent to the ball landing on black, I should get my $100 back. Exactly. You want to play the game of roulette VIP? There are risks of winning and losing. You want to play the game of self-sterilization and condoms and techniques to not have babies? There are ways you're going to win or lose at it. And you cannot take the pluses. You cannot drain what you want from sex and then say you haven't consented to the rest. It doesn't matter. You've consented to the whole. In the same way, the guy who jumps from the plane consents to the risk that his parachute will not open. Adam says, things says, apparently consent to getting paid is not consent to working either. I mean, we're going to see more and more of these fallacious claims for laziness and for subtraction from the law, basically. And yeah, society is degenerating and it's going to go down very fast and very far. You're going to have people arguing that they are entitled to money forever, and to life, and to even a roof and food without doing anything for it. That is it for tonight, boys. Check out my Twitter account if you want to see. I think I have two good clips that I did tonight. I'm going to pass them in my clipping process. I have also a little addition that I will put at the end of every clip. I have yet to program the kind of video connector, but if you want to have a preview of what's going to be added at the end of every clip, it will look like this. Very nice. I did that in about 30 minutes. I think it's professional, good looking. All right, that is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.